Welcome back, WNST. Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore positive. We're positively down here at the beach. We're in Ocean City, Maryland. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. 50th anniversary here, 25th anniversary at WNST. Our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. Do what I did a year ago. Get yourself some windows. And our friends at Raskin Global, who've given me the crab mallet with the beer bottle opener on the side. It has not been christened at Costas. I promise it will get there. This guy's a Coco's man, and I've already promised out Senator Van Hollen's coming by. He said he's going to do Coco's at some point. They're our newest sponsor. Marcella's coming
on.
Have you had the coconut shrimp over there with that blueberry raspberry?
Let me explain something.
All right, go ahead. Talk to me.
When I go to Coco's, I don't look at the menu. I sit down. They bring me a double crab cake platter because that's the only thing I ever had at Coco's.
Well, that's your first mistake as the mayor. You need to expand your horizons on that menu because there's other things on that menu.
It is other things on the menu. But you go to a steakhouse to eat steak.
I understand.
You go to Coco's to eat crab cake. I go to Oriole Park to see baseball.
Well, eat hot dogs and do other things, you know what I'm saying?
No, I go to see baseball.
I wore orange today.
I see that.
So, look, I'll give you the tough question. You got anything you want to say about the lease? I know Orioles are staying forever. Give me all that, but like...
I'm not worried about it. Listen, we have a fantastic governor and his team. We have a great MSA leader and Craig Thompson. They're going to get the deal done working with Angelos and the family. We know that John wants to be here. It's not a worry for me. As I've said a billion times at this point, I got 99 problems and the Orioles ain't one of them. They're going to be here. I know that the governor and his fabulous team are going to get the deal done.
Have you already taken the October nights, like second, third, fourth, fifth, realizing like there might be a bye? I mean, maybe we don't play baseball for a couple. I've looked at this. It's my birthday then. And the Ravens are going over to – I'm thinking like once – and the Ravens are going to be good in September. They're going to win a couple games. They get easy – October is going to be a month, and I've been a sports
guy. It's going to be crazy.
32 years I've been a sports guy before we even had the Ravens. And
we had the Stallions back then.
I remember all that. I was in Vancouver for that, Mayor. But this is going to be a time, and I think the next couple of years, the ramping up of the Orioles and where Lamar is, it's a real time of prosperity for us. And they don't have that right now in New York with the Yankees.
Who? And they sure don't have it with the Knicks. So,
you come from the NBA side. All right, so listen, I haven't had you on in a while. I had Odette on for a while. I mean, Wes, everybody, the state and the city, and coming over here to Ocean City and what you hear about our city.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go in for this or that. And then the Orioles are selling tickets. My wife and I are going down to Earth, Wind, and Fire in
Lionel. Yeah.
Everybody in the city
out.
Was at Best of Baltimore last night, or they were at Barry Manilow last night.
Yep.
I got Artscape. You got Nile Rodgers and Chic coming in, and
got Charm
you've seen
City
my
Live
moves.
Next
we'll
weekend.
We'll talk about my dance moves in a minute. But the city itself, crime down. I mean, there are some measurable things that happen, and then Cherry Hill happens, and here we go again. But you have a lot that you can say. We're making progress in this
city. Listen, there aren't many cities out here that are running 20%+ reductions in homicides, right? We look to our sister city in the south in D.C., where you see their violent crime is up 34% versus ours being down. And it's something that we should recognize, that we still have a long way to go, but we have to recognize that progress because that is significant progress in reducing. Carjackings are down 35%. And people are coming to downtown. You've been to the CFG Bank Arena
to the city
all the time.
Week,
people are always there. I think that we just have to get folks out of this myth that no one's going to come. I went to the preseason game. It was 50,000 people there. The Orioles, when you saw those back-to-back weekend series we had with the Spankies and the Metropolitans or whatever they're called from New York, and you saw the amount of people there and how the city looked on Sunday night baseball, how the city is vibrant. The CFG has reinvigorated that part of downtown. It's become one of the major concert venues on the East Coast. I was there celebrating on August 11th the birth of hip-hop, hip-hop's birthday with LL Cool J and Queen Latifah and Rakim, the God MC himself, with a crowd full of people. It's a great time. It's a great, LL did a great performance. It's a great time to really get on the bandwagon of the city because folks are there. And I'm hearing it from the folks here, people who are from Hagerstown and Cumberland and Southern Maryland, where I went to college in St. Mary's, who say they love coming to Baltimore. They love coming to the games. They love coming to eat. And they've been seeing the changes that have happened over the last couple of years. And we just have to make those folks who are naysayers do one of two things, either come to see the changes or shut up and allow the folks who are coming to enjoy themselves to enjoy themselves and let them be miserable by themselves.
Well, for the city and for you to brag on 25% reduction, some people say, well, it couldn't go up. It has to go down.
No, it actually could go up.
It could go up. What do you attribute it to? Yeah, I mean, when you, because, I mean, come on, safe streets, all the things that you've been, back when you were in the council and all that, why here and now? How has it changed recently?
Well, it's about having that coordinated approach, right? Something that we didn't have before. We were, for decades, all of my life, putting all the responsibility to reducing homicides on the backs of the women and men in BPD. And it never was their sole responsibility, Nestor. Now we have a complete, comprehensive approach to public safety. So it is the work that we're doing through our group violence reduction strategy, which is Monsey, BPD, the state's attorney, our federal partners, everyone working together and doing it in this way, Nestor. Not going out and saying that everybody that looks like me in East and West Baltimore should be put in handcuffs just because they're breathing like they did when I was growing up, right? I haven't been sat down on the curb many times just because I was walking to the store.
And I think for people to listen, you should have some palpable anger about that.
Well, you know what I mean? I am a little angry about that.
I mean, you were angry enough to make a change. You ran for office
honor roll student in high school, being pulled out of my car when I'm a student coming home from St. Mary's College, right? When literally there are people shooting and killing each other around the corner, and they're not talking to those people. They're talking to me, the college student. Now we focus in a different way. We identify through our group violence reduction strategy, starting in the Western District, our historically most violent, who are the most at risk to be the victim or perpetrator of violence. Going to them and saying, we know what you do. We want you to stay alive. This is your last chance to change. They actually get a letter from me personally that says, this is what we want you to do. If you do not do that, the consequences of what happens when we bring the law enforcement side is solely on you. And some folks have taken us and taken the resources and changed their life. Some folks haven't. They called our bluff, and then we had to show them that we're not playing. That's when you see these press conferences with me and the state's attorney and attorney general and our federal partner saying, like, hey, they kept operating after we told them to change their life. We're not playing with these folks. And then also the focus on guns. We've taken over 1,700 illegal guns off the street this year. The work of Safe Streets and Monsey to intercede in violence before it happens in ways that no one else can, right? The investments that were historical investments that we're making into not just education, but recreation and parks and the things that we did this summer. Actually, I'm going to be talking about in a short few minutes those investments into recreation and parks here at Mako because they've seen it and folks around the state now want to see how we're making those investments. It's about all of it together. The jobs and opportunities that are now coming. We had 7,800 young people in youth works this summer. The programming that we did through the Be More This Summer campaign. Well,
that gets them ready for jobs.
Yeah, it gets them ready.
I mean,
and they work in real jobs now. It's not like when we were coming up and it was just, you know, they cut grass or they made sandwiches. I had the opportunity before a Friday night game at Cannon Yards to walk around the stadium and talk to every single YouthWorks employee that works at Camden Yards, learning game day operations, learning how to do all of that stuff, something that you know you can turn into an actual career. And they're learning those things. They work at BGE. They work at Hopkins. They work in my office, right? That's how we keep our young people engaged. Then we went to them, a group of them, 300, and said, what kind of fun activities do you want to see this summer? And they gave them to us. And that's why we had this team pool party series where we had hundreds of them. We had Be More Lit. We had 3,000 young people come through events that they designed simply for them this summer. And then you saw all the negativity around young people really die down this summer because we were engaging them in that way.
Well, I'll get to pools in a minute because there was a hubbub on that side.
But
for guns and for getting guns off the street, and Odette Ramos, honorable from the 14th, sat here a little while ago and said, these are people settling beasts with guns. And you've talked about that on my program going back 5-6 years ago now, long before you even running for mayor. If there's no gun, they can't solve the beef with the gun.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
That's pretty fundamental, right?
Pretty fundamental. They have to resolve it in a different way. And I think that we, and it's something as a co-chair for Mayors Against Illegal Guns, we're going to continue to bolster this up. Yes, we have to make sure there's accountability for anyone who uses a gun in a crime. You saw where we made an arrest in the Brooklyn mass shooting, right? That young man has to be held accountable. But also, Nestor, when we know the majority of the weapons that we recover come from other states, right? You and I know some kid from West Baltimore didn't go to Alabama to buy that gun, right? That we have to hold the traffickers and, in some cases, the manufacturers responsible, like the Ghost Gun Company, who myself and other mayors are suing, because they're purposely going around rightful gun laws that allow people to rightfully own handguns in our country and selling them to teenagers, to people who are prohibited, and allowing them to build guns at home, something you shouldn't be able to do. You should have to go through the rigorous process of owning a gun, because you can end somebody's life with that. They're a manufacturer. We have been going after traffickers. We're going to go after manufacturers. We're going to go after gun dealers who are anybody who's participating in the flow of illegal guns into our city. We're going to be focused on them, not just the person pulling the trigger. We're going to start with them and go up the chain, because everybody has to be held accountable when someone loses their life. And people are dying. This isn't the 90s. This isn't the 80s. People aren't dying in the hundreds over things like, oh, drug money and stuff like that. We have people in the last few weeks, right, shooting people because, oh, my wife left me for someone else, or we got into an internet beef. You said something about, you sent my girlfriend a message on Instagram. That basic level conflict, not just in Baltimore, but across the country and across the state, as you saw in some other on the horrific events, right? We saw that in out in the county with the event out at the Sky Zone. It's basic level stuff. People are not well mentally. It's exacerbated after
conflict
the pandemic.
Conflict resolution.
Like, hey, if she leaves you for someone else, she's not yours. You don't own her anyway, right? You shouldn't be trying to take violence out on her or her new partner. Those are the kind of things that people are dying over. And that, as you know, is a lot more complicated to deal with than the normal stuff that folks are talking about.
Or the things that people say, well, I can't go to the city because of what I watched on Fox News.
Should not watch that.
Mayor Brandon Scott joining us here. You snickered about the pools thing or not. Blend that into kids going back to school. People can rag on you, love you, hate you, but your commitment to young people, that's the foundation of, like, I know you. I know that's who you are. I know you've had a gun held on you. I know all of that. But I think people out there, they wonder how this, in September, we get kids back to school, get them in the classroom.
Yeah.
Because that's really where it starts, right?
Yeah, and I think the pools thing, I think, look, I said, Nestor, and you can pull the tape, you're a sports guy.
All right.
In my State of the City speech, early spring, that we were going through this transformation process with our pools. We have the new Drill Park pool, which I know you've seen, which is a fabulous, fabulous facility. We have pools, much like our rec centers, that haven't been touched since they were built. I said way back then that Patterson Park Pool was going to be closed for renovation because you can't renovate pools in the wintertime. In fact, pretty much after September in Baltimore, you can't renovate pools. So the local councilmen talked to some of my staff, and they wanted to see if they could try to get the pool open this summer for a small period of time. I actually said, no, we should pull the Band-Aid off on this over 50-year-old pool, close it down the same...
And brag about it next May, right?
And literally close it down the same exact way that we had to do Drew Hill, right? And brag about it and say, like, hey, we're going to have to go to Drew Hill because we had Drew Hill Park closed for not 1 year, for 2 years because of the pandemic. And now everyone loves it because we're making this investment. We just started the renovations of Ambrose Kennedy. Then we had Patterson Park, Coldstream, Tawanda, all of these pools. Ambrose Kennedy's pool, Nestor, until we pulled it out a few weeks ago, right? They had a metal fence in the middle of the pool to divide deep and shallow. Why was that ever acceptable? And that's the kind of, and what pissed me off about these comments about pools is because, yes, I'm closing a pool to renovate it, right? Because these pools have been left to deteriorate for decades, and we can't allow our families to have these substandard facilities any longer. But it's going to come with a little, the same way with schools, right? We renovated schools, we had to close them.
Hey, man, I'm a Baltimore County, and Johnny O on 2 weeks. I've seen him a couple times. I gave him a hard time. Dundalk High got done, and that was Kevin Kamenetz. And then and then my elementary school, Colgate, was 100 years old.
Yeah.
And you know, kids are in trailers and stuff. And now you come now, it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's right.
But it takes time to build things.
It's right. We did 28 new schools over the last few years in Baltimore City, more than any urban school district in the country. And now with the new Middle Branch Rec Center, Cahill Rec Center, reopening Tawanda, reopening Bocek, right? And now with Parkview Rec Center, Garden View Rec Center, the one in Curtis Bay in Brooklyn that are going to be brand new as well. It's really ushering in a new level of investment and showing people in these communities that they matter again because they've been ignored for so long.
Well, look, man, you're not going to be the mayor once the red line gets here, right?
Yeah, you know, no. I will be retired for sure.
Yeah, well, you'll be able to do something else, you know, but Governor Moore came by. You were a part of city council when Larry Hogan was a part of killing the red line, yep, being anti-Baltimore.
Governor's right there, by the way.
Yeah, but when I come down here to Mako and I see people talking about Baltimore, good, bad, or there is this rejuvenation. Baltimore's important, you know? I mean, and we need it to be the economic engine. We need it to be successful and thriving and all that. This energy that goes on with the Democratic, a group of people in Annapolis who want to help you. And there's federal money, and I've talked to Ben Cardin, I'm going to have Chris Van Hollen on it, about helping Baltimore. You're not going to be here to tip your cap for all that, but with the red line and with the road to nowhere and these massive sort of federal projects that are going to benefit Baltimore, speak to our audience about that and how that, because you're going to be facilitating that in the coming months and years, right?
I always tell folks, when folks say to me, Nestor, what do you want your legacy to be, right? And they say, I always tell them, remember when I took office, city government was in shambles in the middle of a worldwide pandemic of the likes we've never seen. Everyone doesn't get to be the person that cuts the ribbon on a nice new fancy thing.
Oh, man, you wore the black hat every time you closed a business, people.
Yeah.
And Johnny had that in the county. Literally.
But now, just as important as the person who lays that last fancy thing at the top, all the people who built the foundation. Because if the foundation is weak, everything else shall crumble. That I revel in this role of being the person that gets to put that infrastructure down, to start to build these schools and rec centers, to start the highway to nowhere, to work with the governor to restart the red line. Because when it's done, history will look back and say, these are the folks that were in on the ground level. This is how they got done. And this is why we, as they say, stand on their shoulders. I know I stand on the shoulders of folks like Elijah Cummings and Kirk Smoke who came before me, right? Someone will stand on my shoulders, and it's my job to make sure that they have the strongest foundation possible so that they can take the city to its highest heights.
Mayor Brandon Scott is our guest here. We're down here at Mako. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, celebrating 50 years. We are celebrating 25 years here as well. You talk about this foundation and these decisions being made. The amount of money and the red line and where that will go. You're in on these meetings. What should folks know about that money that's coming in here?
Well, one, they should know that it's in the initial phases. We know that we have kind of a blueprint from before, but what we want to make sure is that we're connecting from Social Security out to Bayview, making sure that West Baltimore and Western Baltimore County right there all get the things that they need to be able to make it to these jobs at Trange Point and other places so that we can really become a city and a region of 21st century transportation. That's what this is all about, and I look forward to working with our partners to make it happen. And I know I got to run because I got some other ones to do, but thank you very much, sir, as always.
Orioles or Ravens win a championship first?
Well, Orioles only because the season ends, folks, but they're both going to win it.
That's the answer I've had from every. I wore orange for you today.
Let's
go. We
got
to get to a ball game. Good
Let's
to see
go.
You.
Always.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you. Coco's next time.
Everybody wants to go to. I don't know, man. You know,
Coco's next time.
Maybe you and Senator Van Hollen together.
Or we'll switch it up. I'll take you to the place that won Best Pizza, Frank's Pizza, next time.
That's not a crab cake tour. It's a pizza tour.
I know. It's a pizza tour. You said I should try something different.
All right,
there we go.
I'll bring you over to Coco's Crab Cake. Mayor Brandon Scott joining us. He dropped the mic. I like the sound of that. There it is. He just dropped the mic. We're down here at Mako. Our friends at Window Nation have sent us down here as well. 866-90-NATION. We didn't even talk about my band, my dance moves. I forgot. I was going to talk about the Janet Jackson. 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. Our friends at Raskin Global, the American Dream, and a pretty good crab mallet as well. We're back for more down here in Ocean City. We got great guests. We're going to be joined by Senator Chris Van Hollen is going to join us, as well as others. I'm making a mess of it. We're in Ocean City. Back for more right after this.